Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Bases Loaded. A big week of some coverage in the world of sports. Well, past 2 weeks since our last show. And in that time we had last week, the Boston Celtics won their record 18th NBA championship. We'll also do a little bit of the NBA draft preview, with round one starting tomorrow night and round two Thursday night. And then we also have the NHL draft, which I think will start Friday, and then round the rest will be Saturday, I believe. And so, yeah, Celtics winning last week. We had last night the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 7, Florida Panthers won their first ever championship, holding out a miraculous comeback from the Edmonton Oilers, who came back from 3 games down to tie the series at 3 apiece to force a Game 7 before losing last night in Florida 2-1. And then also last night we had the Men's College World Series final, Game 3, with the Tennessee Volunteers winning their first title in baseball, beating the Texas A&M Aggies 6-5. So just kind of mention those. Won't be talking a whole lot about them. I've watched, I think, like the last 2 innings of the College World Series for games 2 and 3. With Tennessee winning both, as game 1 was Saturday night with Texas A&M winning against number 1 seeded Tennessee, and Texas A&M was the 3rd seed, ranked. I think it's number 1 ranked in all of college baseball, and then Texas A&M was number 3, because they have like the regionals. They have like the top 16 seeds are like the hosts, and then they go from that, because regionals is like double elimination. Then you have super regionals, which is a best out of 3, and that determines the 8 teams for the College World Series, and that is also a double elimination. So like I said, like I didn't watch more than like the last couple of innings. I hope that someday Wisconsin can get a baseball team, so that maybe we can make it. But we have to just kind of keep focusing on maybe getting to the college football playoff, and then that's like, maybe 2 years type of thing. So, not a whole lot that I can really talk about in terms of like analyzing, as I didn't watch a whole lot of the series other than the final, and then like nothing more than like the last couple, maybe 2 innings for each of those last 2 games. So Tennessee wins their first ever championship, and then so that's kind of like a little, also serves as like a draft preview for the MLB draft, which takes place, I think, less than a month. They've done it like the past 2 years, and I think now they're going to do the draft like the Sunday night of All-Star Week. So they do that. I don't know how many people from the College World Series will be drafted. I assume quite a bit, and kind of serves as like, kind of you're facing some elite talent as you're in the College World Series, and trying to help your draft stock a little bit. And then Stanley Cup Finals, I did watch the last, I would say, about 8 minutes of the 3rd period of last night's Game 7. It was 2-1 Florida Panthers when I turned it on, and that ended up being the final score. I watched a couple games earlier in the series, again, like kind of in the 3rd period type of thing, or between that 2nd intermission after the 2nd period and between the second period and third. So, you know, didn't watch more than, you know, I didn't like last period. But like I said, Florida Panthers win their first ever Stanley Cup, you know, very luckily overcoming what could have been, like, you know, historical collapse on their part, as I think baseball is the only sport in which a team has overcome a 3-0 deficit. I think this would have been, or maybe it's happened in hockey. It's quite possible. Maybe it hasn't. I don't think it's. Maybe what I'm thinking of, it's happened in baseball and hockey. I don't think it's happened in basketball. I think that's what I'm thinking of. Because we'll get into like the NBA finals this year in a little bit. But I know last year, I think for the Eastern Conference Finals, we had Miami Heat had a 3-0 lead over Boston. Boston came back to force a Game 7, but then ultimately lost. So I think that's kind of what's happened in the NBA. Like, they maybe came back to force a Game 6 at that. But nothing successfully, you know, completing that 3-0 comeback as of yet. You know, still, you know, up in the air of who's going to be the first team to ever do it, if it's ever done. So, you know, switching, you know, to the NBA Finals, like I said, Boston wins their 18th championship, which is a record, as they were previously tied with their rivals, the LA Lakers, for the past couple of seasons, as the Lakers won the championship in the bubble that they did in 2020. Finishing up that, you know, 2019 to 2020 season that they did in the bubble out in Orlando. So, you know, they were tied. Boston made it to the finals 2 years ago against the Golden State Warriors, who, you know, with Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond Green and Coach Steve Kerr, ended up winning their fourth championship together as a franchise, or not as a franchise, I think that's their fifth one as a franchise, but their fourth one together. So, you know, Boston was pretty determined to not only get some, like, finals revenge from 2 years ago, but also trying to, you know, hit that little ha-ha, you know, ha-ha moment for against the Lakers and having, you know, more championships than them. So Boston wins the series 4-1. I think last time we talked, they had a 2-0 lead in the series. And then before and after that, the series was going back to Dallas for Game 3, which was Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I said, you know, that Dallas pretty much needed to win that game. And, you know, for like the first, maybe half of that first quarter type of thing, you know, they looked pretty determined, like they were going to win, as they jumped up to like, it was like 17, 18 point lead. And then Boston, you know, was able to kind of chip away. And even like Dallas had a chance kind of in that fourth quarter to, like, you know, they got it within like, I think 2 or 1 point. Like, they were really close to winning. Or at least, you know, maybe forcing an overtime at least. Then Doncic fouls out of the game. Offensive foul, as he tried to, like, you know, take an offensive charge and draw the offensive foul. I should say, and he drew a blocking foul that Dallas challenged and ultimately lost. And then Luka was, you know, fouled out of the game. So it was up to, you know, Irving and the rest of them to, you know, try and get this series to 2-1 and bring them, you know, Dallas back in. But they ultimately fell short. And then Game 4, Dallas just, you know, annihilates the Celtics. I think it was like the third largest margin of victory in the NBA Finals, as it was like, I don't know, like a 40-point lead win or something like that, maybe 46, I think, somewhere there. It's either low 40s or like high 30 points. So, you know, for them to at least stay in the series, not get swept. But, you know, ultimately it didn't. The series only went on one more game as they win. As Boston wins game five in Boston to win the title. They won by 14 or 16 points. So, not the most competitive series. You know, they won. But, like, Boston definitely had probably one of the easiest paths in a couple of seasons. You know, they weren't really tested in the Eastern Conference, you know, at all, as that's just kind of the stasis of the Eastern Conference at this point. Like, you know, the Western Conference has always been the better conference, while the East always has, like, one or two, maybe three, like, true title contenders. And then, like, the rest of the playoff teams are just kind of, like, you know, or in the middle of the pack, or just, like, lucky to be there, you know, type of thing. Though, I mean, with the play-in tournament now, like, you know, it's a little bit more of a fight to get in, especially for those last two spots, especially the last spot. That final play-in game determining seed number 8 in the playoffs. So, but, and then Jaylen Brown was the series MVP. And he gets his first title. So does, you know, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis. Jrue Holiday wins his second, having it won 3 years ago with the Bucks. Joe Mazzulla, the coach, head coach, wins his first. I think a lot of the players on that team won their first. Or this is like their first, you know, championship of the career. So, you know, we'll know definitely Boston, you know, will be, you know, in championship contention next year. We'll see what teams like, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, teams like, you know, your Milwaukee, New York, and like Miami do in the offseason and through the draft. I mean, they don't have high draft picks. I know New York, I think, has two back-to-back picks in the low 20s. And then I think Miami has pick number, I think it's like 17 or 18. Like, they have a high teen pick in this draft. So more about kind of picking, you know, players that could kind of help them, you know, right away, you know, whether it be, like, off the bench or, like, someone that can develop as, like, a sits man. You know, and kind of keep developing throughout the years and kind of help them right away, as opposed to, like, you know, teams that are drafting, like, you know, in the top 10 or even the top 5 that are more looking for something to build on for the future. Though, I mean, there are some, Spurs have two top 10 picks. So, you know, last year having, you know, picking number 1 overall and selecting Victor Wembanyama. Now you have, like, two top 10 picks to pretty much draft talent around him and, you know, take that next step to, like, you know, playoff contention. And, you know, with those two picks will ramp up your contention window pretty quickly, ideally. If, you know, if you're San Antonio, you know, you've had kind of the player development and draft that San Antonio has had for, like, the past, you know, about 25 years or so now. So, you know, to have, like, the finals, like, last weekend, and then the draft be, like, tomorrow night. Because if it did go, if Dallas was able to force a Game 7, it would have been, you know, this past, you know, Sunday. So we would have had Game 7, you know, and then the victory parade would have been, like, tomorrow afternoon or morning. And then round 1 of the draft that night, and I think Brooklyn's still the host. So, you know, we have Atlanta at number 1, Washington 2, I know San Antonio's 4, I think Detroit is 5, I don't know, is 3 maybe. I want to say 3 is maybe feel like Portland. Or Portland, maybe Portland's like six. I don't know. We'll see. Houston is number three is the Houston Rockets via the Nets. So then when is Charlotte sits? Portland seven. Okay. Memphis nine. Utah ten. So you know we have a lot of chances. I mean, it's not like last year where we had like Victor Wembanyama, so there's not really a, like, I've seen so many mock drafts that have kind of picked a bunch of different people at number one. Number two is kind of been more consistent with Alex Sarr. He's like a power forward slash center for Perth, Australia. I think their lead or something like that down there. Number one overall pick has kind of been like up around on this ESPN one by the, I think, two of their top draft analysts. They have Zachariah Risacher, a small forward from France. I think in that same league that Victor Wembanyama played in. I think there's another one of his French teammates also possibly could go in the top 10. If not the lottery this year, so, you know, we'll see about that. Just like, yeah, last year was kind of like, we knew who number one is, even though the Spurs were kind of like, oh, you know, we don't really have a final say, like, we're up to options, kind of like, we all kind of knew who they were going to draft number one once they won the draft lottery, you know, where this year it's kind of like, you know, various draft, mock drafts have kind of differed. So, I mean, the easiest... you know, pick, you know, the draft of probably draft, you know, night round one is, you know, Washington at number two, because they can just sit back. Whoever Atlanta doesn't take, you know, they arguably could take who they believe is the true number one, you know, draft prospect and kind of go from there. And then, you know, the rest of the draft can kind of fall out from number two. You know, we'll probably see some surprises, you know, like we did with, you know, the Atlanta Falcons taking a quarterback in round one in the NFL draft in April, you know, with a top 10 pick nonetheless. Because that's kind of like who it is. And then, like, you know, all playoff teams, you know, you're pretty much like, you know, drafting who you think can help you right away. You know, help with some, bring some depth to a position. Like, I kind of expect maybe like Denver and New York to maybe pick, like, draft a center or like a power forward that can also play center at some point in this draft to kind of help, you know, when, you know, Embiid and Jokic come off or on the bench, they can kind of hold down the fort until they, you know, come back in the game. Especially for New York, who, like, Embiid has kind of had some injuries, you know, throughout his career. So, like, I think someone like maybe like Zach Edey from Purdue could be a pretty solid pick. I mean, back-to-back Wooden Award winner, made it to the national championship this year. So I think, like, they're the him is a pretty good shot. Maybe there's someone, I think it's else, maybe from, like, you know, the international pool to be, because, I mean, like I said, the Knicks have, like, back-to-back first-round picks. You kind of, like, it's a nice way to, like, fill needs in back-to-back areas. So, yeah. And then having the rest... 2 weeks, you know, and, you know, well, round two, I don't really like the whole, like, oh, we're gonna split up. It's kind of made sense to just do it all in one night, because it's just two rounds, so it doesn't make sense to just have it, you know, not two rounds, both around one night, and just kind of get it over with, because it's like, we can do this both in one night, you know, like, we don't need to extend it to two nights. Same with, I mean, I think with NHL, they might do more than two rounds, so I can see that a little bit more, and it seems like, the NHL draft is a little bit more, I think, kind of decided up top with, like, you know, the first couple of picks. It seems like there's more of a true number one. I don't know who has the number one overall pick. I know the Blackhawks have number two. And stuff like that. I know I saw, like, something like the Athletic or something. Maybe not. Oh, wait. Yeah, here we go. Well, it said the New York Times, but I guess it sent me... I told them LinkedIn sent me to the... you know, makes sense. So, the San Jose Sharks, that's who it is. Okay. So, yeah. So, and then Anaheim Ducks at 3, Columbus Blue Jackets at 4, and the Montreal Canadiens rounding out to the top 5. So, pretty, you know, standard for, like, we know who is number 1. So, and that's, it should be Saturday. Oh, they must have a 2-round pick too, or 2-round draft as well. So, but I think theirs is, I want to say it's Friday, like, it's gotta be, like, should tell me June, first round, June 28th, which is, yeah, Friday. I was right. I haven't watched much hockey, but I know it's on Friday. So that's, like, you know, where that is. And then we'll kind of see where it goes from there. You know, we'll, you know, preview. I mean, we'll preview more of the NBA or recap more of the NBA draft than I will the NHL draft. Just because I know basketball more, a lot more than I know hockey. And, you know, it'll do it. I mean, you know, like, to break down stuff like that. So, I mean, like we done last year with the, you know, NBA draft and such, and with this year with the NFL draft. So, again, you know, typical round one recap and stuff like that. Probably both rounds for the NBA, because it's only 2 rounds. Where football, it's like, you know, 7 rounds, and like, probably like the 5th round, you're kind of like, I don't really recognize any of these players. Unless, you know, you're maybe an alumni of that school and they draft, you know, one of your players, then you might know. But up until then, it's like, after that, it's like, I don't really know who most of these players are. So, you know, last send will be, like, kind of a little early NBA offseason. I don't think we've started, like, officially. I think free agency starts, I think it's July 6th or 7th. It's like a couple days after the 4th of July. I think that's when, like, free agency officially starts. So, you know, we'll have the draft this Wednesday and Thursday. You know, free agency will start, will be, you know, about 2 weeks after that is concluded. And, you know, kind of go from there. And then the season will start up, you know, officially end of October. So we haven't really, I mean, there hasn't been, like, you know, any free agency signing, obviously, just hasn't started yet, but we've had some new coaches hired. Most notably, J.J. Redick signed a 4-year deal to become the Nets head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. So I definitely expect, they tried to get And Dan Hurley, the head coach of Connecticut basketball, but he declined it and, you know, decided to return back to UConn to try and win a third straight, you know, NCAA men's basketball championship. So they went with Redick. I think they announced him the signing last Thursday or Friday, something around there. So I think he had his press conference yesterday, I believe. So, you know, I expect that's kind of like one of the first dominoes to fall of like the Lakers being aggressive this offseason. Like, I kind of expected them to be a little aggressive to begin with. But like the fact that like Boston just won their passed them for most championships won, I think they'll definitely try and do something, you know, whether that be in free agency and stuff like that. I don't know. I think they should have a first round pick. I don't think until like maybe round it would have to be like past 20. But I don't think they would have they have a first 17th overall in round one. Do they have another first round pick? We're looking. No, but they have, let's see. They have one second round pick, it looks like, from what I'm seeing. 55th overall. Unless I'm missing one, but I think that's the only second round pick they have. Yep. So, I mean, you know, 17th overall, you can get a pretty solid player. I mean, obviously, you have LeBron at, like, at the end of his career, you know, age-wise, you know, he's pretty much giving as best as he can every night. I looked at the ESPN little draft, and they had for round two of him, them picking his son, Bronny James, probably as an attempt to, like, you know, keep LeBron in Los Angeles. I mean, I don't think Bronny James is going to be able to add a whole lot to the team. He went to USC this season. I don't think he played a whole lot. I think he got injured at one point, and then he has entered the transfer portal, but also is still sticking in the NBA draft. Just has to see how that goes. So, you know, I expect, you know, the Lakers to be pretty aggressive. I expect probably a lot of the Western Conference teams to be aggressive, you know. I mean, like, Minnesota, Dallas, Denver probably aren't going anywhere. You know, they'll try add what they can via the draft or free agency to help them out. The Clippers, I think Paul George and Harden might be a free agent, and then George might be able to opt out of his contract, I believe, or something like that. So, you know, if something they're able to re-sign him or keep him, then, you know, that's one thing. If they're only able to keep one of them, then, you know, we'll see how that kind of handles the situation, goes from there. So, in regards to, like, you know, the other LA team, but, like, considering, you know, they're opening their own arena for this season, or, you know, starting this season, I expect they're going to have to try and do their very best, everything they got, to keep those players and keep a team, I mean, for, like, a month, you know, maybe a month and a half, like December to like January. You know, they were like, had like one of the best records in the NBA, and was like, you know, one of the hottest teams in the NBA. Like, they were just like, you know, flicking at all cylinders, and then kind of fell apart a little bit. And then went into the playoffs. Just the 3 seed? Just Dallas was the 6th, so yeah, they were the 3 seed, lost to Dallas. I think in 5 games. So they'll be aggressive. I mean, the East, you know, Boston ain't going anywhere. We'll see what happens. I mean, if Al Horford, like, retires, you know, he finally won his NBA championships. We'll see if he comes back. If he does, maybe it'd be like a one-year kind of reconstructed deal. Kristaps Porzingis is having surgery, but I think he should be able to go by, like, you know, off-season training camp, you know, preseason games type of thing. If not, maybe miss a couple first couple weeks of the regular season. So, I mean, that, you know, we'll see with, like, Milwaukee, them having, like, a full kind of, you know, preseason, like, off-season workouts with, you know, Doc Rivers as coach to see if they can, like, kind of figure out some stuff. You know, Giannis will definitely, the key is pretty much him and staying healthy, because, like, the past two playoffs, he's missed, I think he missed the last two or three games of last year, and then he missed all of the playoffs this year. So keeping him healthy is kind of the key for that for them. I mean, they need like a more like a defensive guard to go along with like Damian Lillard scoring. You know. So I think Brook Lopez is also a free agent to be. So we'll see if they bring him back. There's questions with Miami of maybe Jimmy Butler might not be back. We'll see how that goes. I don't know if he wants, like, you know, a larger contract or kind of rework contract or something like that, or what is going on. Because I know, like, Pat Riley kind of went off on him at some, like, press conference or, you know, media thing. So we'll see how that goes. And then New York, kind of with the consistency. I think it said, was it OG Anunoby who? Nitz Anunoby outside of contract. I mean, that doesn't mean he can come back. It just did not, you know, I mean, like I said, yeah, it doesn't mean he can't come back. It's just kind of, he opt out, trying to look for maybe a new contract or something like that. So we'll see how that goes. And I guess NBA free agency begins Sunday. So we're starting like right away. We're having like, you know, the draft, and then we're going straight into like free agency like right away. So that's very interesting, but not uncommon with, like, I mean, the only one that really has free agency after the season is, like, or, like, free agency, like, that's not around the same time as, like, the draft or anything like that is, like, baseball, it seems. Because, like, baseball does the draft July, you know, free agency starts, like, early November. So, and even then, no one's really signing, like, big contracts or anything like that until, like, you know, you might see, like, one or two big contracts finally being signed between, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, like, in that kind of window. And that's usually when, after that, that's kind of when more free agency starts to happen, pick up a little bit. And then, like, even into spring training, we can see some, like, you know, deals happen. So, you know, kind of see, it's kind of like an off-season preview. And then, like, you know, and that was mostly for, like, you know, like, championship contenders, like, with, like, the Atlanta Hawks having the number one overall pick. You know, there's kind of rumor speculating, like, you know, them trading DeJounte Murray or Trae Young, or even some are, like, speculating the idea of them trading both. So that's kind of a big part. Like, you know, someone was able to, like, trade in need of a guard and could, you know, have some financial flexibility and, like, some draft capital to, like, make that trade happen. You know, that would shake up, you know, whichever conference, you know, they get traded to. I mean, it would shake up the Western Conference more, just of how, like, you know, tougher of a conference, you know, more competitive a conference it is. But, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes, you know, once we have the draft and then free agency. So yeah, I believe that kind of wraps up this episode for this week. Next time, you know, we'll recap NBA draft and early free agency. Probably recap the NHL draft a little bit, at least like round one. And then we'll, like, you know, preview to, you know, probably more the rest of the show, probably on like baseball. And at that point, we'll be right around the All-Star break. We might be about a week out, maybe two type of thing. So that's kind of like my plan for next show. So thank you for listening and have a good one.